You are listening to Sherpa Shorts, a special presentation of the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back with another episode of Sherpa Shorts. This is the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast,
helping youth workers to keep going. Hey, everyone, I'm Matthew.
And I'm Steve.
And we are glad that you've joined us on this journey through the alphabet. Having a blast. Hope you're enjoying it.
Guess what I'm doing after this?
You're playing golf today, aren't you?
I am.
You're wearing golf attire.
I am.
I'm a little jealous.
Only the second time out.
Well, I played last Thursday, so I guess I should just chill out.
My expectations are low, but it's a nice day. I think I'm going to have fun.
Nice day. You're going to be outside. You're not going to be in the office. It's going to be a good thing for sure.
That is absolutely true.
Beautiful. I'm going to see Endgame tonight.
Oh, so, are you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Got to get it in before.
Did I tell you how it ends?
Stop. Don't. No, actually, I'm not as invested as most of the world is in this whole thing. I don't know enough to make theories about how it's going to go. I just want to eat popcorn, drink Diet Coke, and watch a movie, so whatever.
The truth is, I've been thinking about writing a blog about how I don't care about it, but I figured I would be ostracized from the entire youth pastor universe.
Yeah. People out there are like, I don't care about Endgame and I don't care about Game of Thrones. Like, look, that's fine that you don't care about it, but why are you bragging about that? Like, you're just asking for a fight.
Because we're annoyed. Well, anyway.
I'm not annoyed. It's fine. I like
both. It's fine. There's better movies out there. You know what I'm more excited about?
What are you more excited about?
The remake of Men in Black. They're coming out with a new Men in Black this summer. You gave me the look, man.
Well, I got nothing against Men in Black.
Hurts.
I really enjoyed the first Men in Black that came out, 30 years ago.
Ouch.
Yeah, you're old.
Those were the halcyon days
of movies. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Nice pull. All right. Anyway, without any further ado, we should probably get into today's topic. It is the ninth day of our odyssey.
It is. 9 out of 26. I don't know what percentage that is because I'm not good at math, but I believe it's your turn.
Yes.
Is that correct?
It doesn't matter what percentage it is. It matters what letter it is. Letter it is?
I think it is time for you to tell me. I do know what letter it is.
You're not going to say it, though.
I'm not going to say it because our voiceover dude that we paid last year to do this is going to say it. And so, Matthew, tell me, what is your word for?
The letter I.
My word for the letter I is isolated.
Okay.
Isolated.
Isolated.
And it's a two-prong. I mean, I think we can go two different directions with this, and I'm fine if we go both directions. But how do you combat feeling isolated as a person, you know, as a youth leader involved in ministry? Sometimes that can be a very lonely place. Be a very isolated place.
Indeed.
But I also think about, how do you deal with students in your ministry who tend to isolate themselves?
Yeah, good question.
So that's my word, isolated.
Okay. Wow, this could be heavy.
It could be heavy. Could be heavy. Could be practical.
It could be practical.
Yes.
So
depends on where you want to take it, Steve. The ball's in your court.
Well, let's talk first about students who are isolated.
Students who are isolated.
Do you have students who walk into your youth ministry and the first thing they do is they go to the far side of the room and sit down and pull out their phone?
Yes.
Or they sit out in the lobby outside the youth room and they sit on their phone?
Yep.
Does that drive you nuts?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We have those students. I sometimes wonder if there would be less isolation without cell phones.
I say no.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. I think it does exacerbate the problem, but that's not the root issue.
It's not the root issue.
The root issue is, in some level, they're choosing to isolate themselves. So there's something else altogether going on. Yeah. How do we as youth leaders address that, or should we address it? I mean, these are questions I still wrestle with 30 years later.
Yeah, I don't have easy answers to that. We try to get people involved with other groups, you know. So if a kid's off by himself, we try to bring them into the group of their peers, if it's their family group or whatever, by, you know, encouraging conversation, encouraging groups to do things outside of youth ministry so that there's some kind of relationship that exists there. But sometimes it's hard because there's not a willing party on the other end.
Right, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially when it goes on for a number of years. And it's not just isolation necessarily by individuals. Sometimes it's by little groups. Like we have a group of, well, I guess I can say this. No, I probably shouldn't identify which group it is. But we have a group that's been in the youth ministry together for a while. And there's, you know, three or four or five of them. But they refuse to mix with the rest of the students in the group.
Yeah.
It's not that they're cliquey, like, we're so cool, we don't include you. It's just that they're so isolated that they don't jump in with everybody else.
Right.
It drives us crazy after all these years.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know for me, especially because I have a harder time as a natural extrovert,
right,
as somebody who not really a big fan of isolation, right? I have a harder time like grasping it, which I know is I know that's a problem for me. I mean, I tend to err on probably the wrong side of over pursuing those people that are isolated and trying to force them out of isolation and in integration.
Awkwardly.
Yeah, awkwardly, because in some instances, now, and again, this you just don't know. In some instances, their isolation is a cry for attention.
Mm.
And so, you know, what do you do with that? And so, for some of them, it's just who they are.
Yeah, it's their temperament.
I mean, I know, I remember, this is not that long ago, I had a standoff with an isolationist that had been an isolationist for a long time. Middle school, integrated in the group, having a blast, loving life. Transitioned to high school and became the on the beanbag, on her phone, never played the stupid youth pastor game unless like literally physically picked up and put in the middle of it, just trying to isolate. And we went on this spring retreat, and my big idea, a dodgeball tournament is our centerpieces of our spring retreat. And we have a huge tournament. We introduce the teams like we would introduce an NBA team, and you run through a tunnel, and everybody gets their name called and gets cheering by hundreds. You know, that's the idea. And this girl would not run through the tunnel, and I would not move on until she ran from the tunnel. And super awkward for everyone involved, not just her and I, but 130 people standing in the gym going, who's going to blink?
Who blinked?
She ran through the tunnel.
Did she?
Yeah. And I won, but I didn't win.
You didn't win.
I didn't win because I chose to die on the wrong hill. You know, it severed our, not severed, it deeply wounded our relationship. Mm. And it really has not completely recovered. I mean, 5, 6, 7 years later.
So there's two sides to it. One is you want students to not be isolated and try to gather them into the bigger group.
God wants us in community.
Yes.
Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert.
But there are also some students who are maybe more content kind of being loners, or at least being not part of the big goofiness. So we have to allow them to do that.
Yeah.
So there's a balance to that.
There's a balance. We have to find our way to do our due diligence, but not make them run through the tunnel when they don't want to.
Yeah. Boy, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
What about on the side of things of you as a leader feeling isolated because of your position?
Yeah, my first few years at the church, before I had some other youth pastor friends in the area, I definitely felt that and longed to make some connections with other people, right? So once the network started to get going and made some friendships, that really, really helped a lot. And then having youth leaders as friends, we talked about that, like, I don't know, it was one of the very first episodes. Have your first big youth leaders also be people who could be your friends.
Could be your friends.
Right? So that helps. But there are times when I feel very isolated, and I feel like there's nobody that can really understand exactly how I'm feeling right now, except maybe another youth pastor. And those are dangerous places to be. I think when we find ourselves in that place, it's a sign to us that something's off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a sign to us that we haven't either made the effort, or Satan is trying to isolate us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to...
Bad things can happen in isolation.
He's going to take the weak antelope and separate it from the pack so that he can attack it. I think that's a danger. So we have to be on the lookout for that. So we have to seek community, I think, both within the church and outside the church.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what I was thinking about when this word was rolling in my head. Because it's not to say I have absolutely amazing relationships at my church. I have amazing relationships with people who serve in the student ministry. I have amazing relationships with other people in the church that I just mm-hmm. know. I have amazing relationships with other staff members that don't work in student ministry, but work in yeah. other parts. That's mm-hmm. great. But even with them, there's just a point where there's a part of what we do that they can't. It's not that they won't. It's not that they don't want to. It's that they can't really understand. And that can lead to isolation. So yeah, it's just a plug for being with like-minded people who are in the same battle as you're in. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the same thing. So local networks, you know, National Youth Workers Conventions and things like that that put you in proximity with people who can who get you at a deeper level than almost anybody else on the planet can.
That's really why we started this podcast.
100%.
I mean, that's our whole purpose. That's our whole mission statement, is to provide a community for people through these conversations that helps them feel like they're part of something.
And not isolated.
Yeah.
You're not out there on an island doing this. You're doing this with, even though not in mileage proximity, but you are mm-hmm. soul level doing this with a whole community of people that I get it.
It should be helpful.
You're not isolated.
Yeah.
Anyway, that wasn't like a haha funny episode, but that was my word.
Okay. That was good. Oh, keep forgetting the...
Oh my goodness, we do. Well,
they all end up at the end.
They do end up at the end.
But sooner or later, we're going to get one in the middle.
We will. We will.
We'll remember some week. But anyway,
the sound did happen, which means you need your ninth word in the secret Sherpa phrase. And that ninth word is...
And.
Simple as that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is another episode of Sherpa Shorts. We hope you enjoyed it.
We'll be back tomorrow with the next one. Until then,
Sherpa's out.